Harper Audio presents It's Not Me, It's You by Vari McFarlane, read by Julia Barry.
Chapter 1. Anne clomped over in her King Kong slippers with a yoghurt, a spoon and a really annoyed expression. "Is that stuff in the Tupperware with the blue lid yours?" Delia blinked. "In the fridge," Anne clarified. "Yes?" "It's stinking it out. What is it?" "Chili prawns. It's a Moroccan recipe. Leftovers from where I made for dinner last night." "Well, its smell has got right into my Muller Greek corner. Can you not bring such aggressive foods into work?"
"Well, I thought it was just confident."
"It's like egg sandwiches on trains. You're not allowed them on trains. Or burgers on buses."
"Aren't you?"
It was a bit surreal being snack-shamed by a woman who was 1/7 mythical monkey. Anne wore the slippers because of extreme bunions. Her feet looked like they didn't like each other.
"No, and Roger wants a word," Anne concluded.
She went back to her seat, set the contaminated yoghurt down and resumed typing, hammering blows on the keyboard with stabbing forefingers. It made her shock of dyed purple-black hair tremble. Delia thought of the shade as aubergine fritter. Anne's policing of the office fridge was frightening. Despite being postmenopausal, she decanted her semi-skimmed into a plain container and labelled it breast milk to ward off thieves. She was one of those women who somehow combined excess sentiment with extreme savagery. Anne had a framed needlepoint on her desk with the Corinthians passage about love, next to her list of exactly who owed what to the office tea kitty. For last year's not-so-secret Santa, she bought Delia a rape alarm. Delia pushed out of her seat and made her way to Roger's desk. Life as a Newcastle City Council press officer did not provide an especially inspiring environment. The pleasant view was screened by vertical, knobbly, slatted blinds in that porridge hue designed to make them look dirty before they were dirty, to save on cleaning costs. There were brown-tipped spider plants that looked as if they were trying to crawl off the shelving and had died mid-attempt. The glaring yellow lights built into the ceiling tiles, foamy squares, made everything look like it was taking place in 1972. Delia got on well enough with the rest of the quiet, predominantly 40-something staff, but geographically she was trapped behind Anne's wall of misery. Conversations conducted across her inevitably got hijacked. Delia crossed the office and arrived at Roger's desk at the end of the room.
"Ah, Delia. As our social media expert and resident sleuth, I have a game of cat and mouse for you," he said, pushing a few A4 printouts towards her.
She wasn't sure about being christened the officer's resident sleuth just because she discovered the persistent odour in the ladies' lavatory had come from an upper decker left in one of the cisterns by a discontented male work experience placement who might have deep-rooted issues with women. It was a eureka moment Delia could have done without. Roger steepled his hands and drew breath theatrically.
"It seems we have a goblin."
Delia paused. "You mean a mole?"
"What do you call a person who goes onto the internet intentionally trying to annoy people?"
"A wanker?" Delia said. Roger winced. He didn't do swears.
"No, I mean a concerted irritant of a cyborg nature."
"A robot?" Delia said uncertainly.
"No, did I mean cyborg? Oh, cyberspace."
"Being rude to people online. A troll."
"Troll. That's it."
Delia inspected the printouts. They were local interest-only stories based on council reports in the local paper. Nothing particularly startling, but then they usually weren't.
"So, this individual, rejoicing in the anonymous moniker Peshwari Naan, starts trouble in the conversations underneath the Chronicle's online stories," Roger said.
Delia scanned the paper again.
"We can't ignore it. I mean..."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?